So.
Done.
All
right.
Peter Ryan.
Chapter 8.
Me? You want my bad self? I said, holding on to my penis. Just a second. I was stalling. Did I mention that I'm a 6th grade graduate from Shadyside Preparatory College? I don't move my bad self for just anyone. Well then, prepare to die, because I'm tired of telling you how stupid you are. Sir Thomas sure had a way with words, even if he was using them to try to do away with me. The crystal ball that had once told me that I was vibrant and young was now telling me that I was a zit on the heaving postule of life. You think you're a tired asshole? You and your black magic and your Han Solo impersonations and your metal tuba? Me? Sir Thomas's voice hit me like a tray of pies to the face. The cold goo started trickling down my shirt toward my crotch. It looked like blue hummus that contained limousines remodeled in Formica. I think you've confused me with some other person. Sir Thomas? Sir Thomas, sir, is a quiet docile, he announced. Yeah, and we had a president who could play the steel guitar without ever having taken a lesson. I suppose that if I tried to enslave the world for capitalism, I'd get the fuck terrorized out of me, too. In other words, I had no segue. That's brutal. I was a rugged, if nothing else. The fire that had been in Sir Thomas's eyes was now the color of red sangria and began with the letter L. I tilted my head so I could see where myself was. A moment later, I could hear the ground was furious with me. It moved much like a depressing look at 100 kilos of armor, like the kind Sir Thomas swears he doesn't wear. I was about to punch him. I'd kick him, too, it's just that I have a delicate gorgonzola. Prepare to die, you odious brute. Sir Thomas wasn't the only one who had a way with words. He was the only one who was metal squawked. I knew I was in. In for it. Multiply that by 2. Then subtract 36. And then subtract 36 a little more. I don't know what you get, but I get nothing minus 63. I tried to lick my lips, but I had no saliva. Sir Thomas came at me with a trachea. I came at him with a grunt. I called him every name in the Detroit phone book, and he just looked at me like a distilled lizard. Do you think that you could possibly get me an overripe tomato, like a good little boy? Sir Thomas said as he ate lunch. I'd rather have an overripe tomato in front of me than a frontal lobotomy or a mirror that was on fire. And now for my next trick. The cowboy ghost hit me in the pecker with a lancet full pie. Now, Brutus, I'm going to Vegematic you. I'm sure he meant well, but he was being an asshole. At least he could talk to my mom, and at least he tried to set Carly on fire. I was in quite a patty cake. Sir Thomas grabbed his head and cried out like he'd been hit with a metallic churro. He cried out like he'd been hit with not one, but 2 heart attacks. The cowboy got him and given a pair of passes to the dentist. Tiring quickly, he began spitting before he rinsed. Great. And I thought I was stupid, I thought. Later, I'd get near to thinking that again. I don't answer to any name, let alone Brutus. What I want to see is your eyes breathing instead of your lower tibia. I breathed so profoundly, I couldn't hear myself breathe. I looked around myself, petrified by my own mind. I couldn't move or think. I was erring on the side of incomprehensibility. I didn't have a gun, and I wouldn't have been able to find my epidermis anyways, and somehow I knew that without being able to move or to think. Dad had unmountained a mountain of medieval armor he had found in an abandoned tornado. He was responsible for this cowboy fuck. What a fucking sewer rat. Sir Thomas had nothing on this elegant jackass. Do you ever wear sable? Well, he had non sequiturs. Or you just go straight to Matzo. Sir Thomas talked like he was lost in a maze. The air had been cordoned off, especially the parts that contained fish and granite. The light of the silvery moon, which had until now been affiliated with the express written consent of the National Football League, was now hell-bent on interstellar desalinization. Despite leaving the maze of my mind, I still thought that lunch had been off. The maze of Sir Thomas's mind was an enormous maze of porridge. It traveled through the mud and metal and through parts of Lake Superior. The metal parts and the parts affiliated with the age-old problem of psoriasis. I was at my most brilliant when I was directing myself, that and lancing my way through dust and trees. I knew that I was in the middle of an imaginary Harry Carey that would slice me up like a pie if I wasn't careful. The laces aren't laced. It was an expression that I was obliged to adopt in a tone that I was obligated to vent. Mm-hmm. Hey, cowboy, have you ever considered that you're a jackass? an authentic jackass, not an old codger jackass, but a certified cowboy jackass. Old man Spellman says so. The dust raised its provincial head and spat out visors and paper dolls. I guess there's a reason that you suck brujas, Sir Thomas said. I couldn't make heads or tails out of what that deconstructed. God will pass this way and will tell us who is more brazen, the arms dealer or your dad. Jesus H. With my hands trembling and my heart defibrillating, I myself look like a half-assed arms dealer. Would I be able to save myself and just forsake the others? Probably not. I would be able to eat some fish, however. And the rat bastard part of it was that every single tree on the street was staring at me. But I wasn't afraid of no tree as long as I had hands and arms and a long, flowing cape for protection. That was a good, I thought. Eh, boss? But not good enough for that rat bastard bar none Sir Thomas. Jesus H., I returned to the rubric. I had returned to the rubric, but I was trembling like a red pair of pants dipped in varnish. I had returned to square one just in time to set fire to the maze in my mind. I had been subjected to all manner of rude inquiries. I had left the maze in my mind and was now veering toward the dreck. It had cost me a pretty penny. It had made me tone deaf. And I had busted my bladder trying to figure out how much sugar was in sugar-free soda. And why, whenever I have the opportunity to make $10, it comes out $5? Sir Thomas shook his head, like he had just been sent the ghost of Jeffrey Dahmer. The battle was about to begin. For my part, I was rapidly becoming what I saw myself as, an egg carton. And that included all the eggs. That included the pieces that, when painted, looked like balsa wood, that had been attacked by the entire Houston Comets basketball team. Actually, the pieces looked like they had gotten very mad and gone off in a huff. I looked at Sir Thomas, and he looked like he was going to go off in a minute and a huff. And despite all this baggage, I still hadn't contradicting myself. The metallic point that the maze of my mind had been air-trapped in it. I grabbed my sword and actually made my own scabbard out of my hip. I grabbed my head in pain and prepared to make my meter, and immediately gulped. When the maze of my mind understands that pain signals are running throughout my central nervous system in a mad blaring for the brain, well, let's just say there was a terrible noise coming from what I believe was my temerity. I knew that the only thing I could do was to sink to my knees in consternation, a consternation that added up to not much. Not much being $1.298, less 10. Sir Thomas had a good laugh at that.
Thanks, Peter.